Thank you, Aaron, for allowing me to talk about my research here, and also thank you for your presenting here. And I'm going to talk about fava bean, Vicia fava, which is one of the oldest crops domesticated by human in history. It's in companion with the cereal crops in the Middle East. And the good thing of this crop is they have the symbiotic interaction with the microbial and fixing atmosphere nitrogen for the next crop, and also provide nitrogen for the crop itself, since this is a higher protein in the seed. So fava bean is the number four host crop in the world, and I'm from Washington State, where USDA has a plant introduction station there. It's part of the National Plant Germplasm. I think in the audience there's a lot of people from the system, the National Plant Germplasm system. This is over 20 different locations. They will have the gene banks, repositories all over the country. We manage my 13,000 different plant species, and the total accession of 600,000 accessions. We provide this germplasm to the research community for education, for research, for variety development. And see for this one, I'm looking at this Pullman, Washington, which is the Western Regional PI station. We manage over 100,000 accessions of plants, of maybe close to 7,000 different plant species. Among this 100,000, is about 60,000 accessions are legumes. Fava bean is one of them. The other legume famous is the pea, which Mondale used as a genetics, studied the science of genetics, and also chickpea, lentil, also for other forage legumes, alfalfa, cloves, all in our collection. We have five curatorial program. It's five curators now have a vacant position, which is agronomy and grass, and also safflower. And also I'm kind of advertising the position here. If you are interested in curating the germplasm, you are encouraged to apply for this. You will be announced soon, as I'm told. And another vacancy is the bean curator here on the top. Here is Ted Kisha. I just signed his retirement paper last week, so his position will be vacant September 1st. Okay. And as I said, we are good service, unit to serve the global plant research community. This is the number of accessions of the seed package we shipped out every year in the last 10 years. So last year, we shipped to 44 different countries, and the total number of seed packages almost 45,000 packages. So people working very hard. So in the audience, whatever plant species you're working with, you want to get some germplasm, you can contact or find the NPGS, you will find the plant species you are working with. So the good thing with this is that we distribute the germplasm without any conditions, not the predatory, stuff. You get attached to some conditions. You can do whatever you want. And now a little bit about the fava bean. When I started the position there about 11 years ago, I saw there's a fava bean is in our collection. It's about 700 accessions, relatively small. And I talked to the department chair in crop and soil science in WSU is Peter Pan. He was the president of the American Soil Society Association last term. So he said, "Oh, if you you can start with a fava bean. Nobody's working with fava bean, which has the highest capacity of nitrogen fixation. In our area, mostly it is the cereal production. You can develop the cover crop rotation with our cereal, like wheat, barley, in the Palouse." So I said, "Okay, yeah, it would be nice." I said, "Look at the even the collection is relatively small." I did a survey, see how big, how diverse is the collection. So the 700 accessions is collected from 62 different countries. You can see the size, the seed size different. I use a DNA marker fingerprinting to look at the. Do you have a pointer here?
Actually, I think it's best
to use your mouse. Yeah, I found it. Okay, that's fine. I can use the mouse pad. Okay, it's good. So, here, I show the DNA fingerprinting. This is old technique, 20 years ago. So this panel A, each land is one accession, or called one variety. There are all the collections, mostly the land races. So there's lots of diversity. Each land is the DNA from eight different plants. Okay? And they produce a different fingerprint. And then the B is very few of the accessions. Each land is individual plants from 16 different plants from the same accession. So this one almost like an inbred line. So then inside this accessions, there's not much variation, almost like rice or other self-in crop. But in this one, it's another accession, which is a mix of different genotypes. You know, it's 16 plants from one accession. You can see how different they are. The loss of marker segregation is, the diversity is relatively high. So I said, "Oh, this is very good." And then when we look at the breeding system, it's a partially outcrossing species. In Pomel, that's the outcrossing is about 35% when we use the recessive marker to assess. So that means the selection will be very effective. You can change the allele frequency if you select that one. So the first sum I did is to look for cold tolerance. So we have all this diverse collection. So I panned out 200 accession that year. See how they're going to survive in the winter in Pullman area. This is in literature, they say they can survive to 13 degrees, -13 degrees Celsius, which is less is about 10 degrees Fahrenheit. The improvement usually will get to 0 Fahrenheit every year, but even the very short time. So the screening was very successful. We, out of 200, we got 7 accessions that have partially survived. And you can see this. This susceptible, cold susceptible, just totally dead after winter. And this is before winter, November. And after a few years selection, we made a very good progress. Some plants are really tolerant to it. You can take a standing on ice, no damage. And this one is segregating, and you can see some damage here. Puma is a very nice place for cold tolerance. This is last year, March 1st. Floor still covered with crop. Find some cold tolerance plants, they die after the winter, like in March. The temperature fluctuates, the plants freeze and thaw. Part of them will die. This is frost tolerance. So it's different from the cold tolerance. Okay. And a few years, 3-4 years back, we released the full enhanced cold tolerance line. You see this one we planted in October. The lowest temperature this plant experienced, it's like minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. It's minus 23 degrees Celsius. And December 17th, and also minus 21 Celsius on January 5th. The plant still survived in the field. So now I'm talking about the cold tolerance. A few years back, a professor in Cornell University said that there's some high turnover production. People want to use the fava bean. If asking me if I have some cold tolerance one, I said, okay, I can look it for you. So this year we got a very high temperature in Pullman, which is record breaking, and it's 104 degrees. Now it's like only 88. Today in Pullman it's only 87 the highest. So I took my camera, go to my research facility, find some heat tolerance, especially this one, it's very impressive. You can see this is the heat sensitive plant, the tip just dead, and this one, they're just standing there. I find that this line, and also a few segregating plants like this. Also, initially collaboration with the international organization, the ICADA, International Research Center for Arid Land in Syria, now it's in Lebanon now because of this. So we did our field, selected a reference line, which is the mini core of the international fava bean germ plant collection of 10,000 accessions. So we selected about 140, representing 95% of the genetic diversity. We did this SNP GBS discovery with like a 4.13 million reads. Finally, we selected 2,600 high quality SNP to give us. This is the genetic diversity of the 149, and we do find some significant SNPs with the number of seed per plant, and also plant height, and also the seed size, the 100 seed weight. So fava bean is difficult. They have a very big genome, so 13 gene, and only 6 pair of chromosomes. So we don't have a reference genome, so it's not sequenced, not like other. So we cannot do the Manhattan, plot because where's the location of this one. Anyway, in the field, we can find this is one of the possible explanation why the plant height and the number of plants are associated with heat tolerance. This is in the breeding part. This line, you see, when the high temperature, the plant just quit. When it's 90 degrees, they just quit and the flower dropping. But there's this plant, it's an individual plant that just keep flowering, setting seed already. And the plants keep growing, keep setting seed. And we made some crosses and selecting for this kind of phenotype. So we are making some progress for the heat tolerance, which is some of the progeny is distributed to California. They use as a cover crop in as a walnut nursery. They mix fava bean with some other grass and brassicas for a cover crop. They flower very early to attract a pollinator. And also there's a rice farm that using this fava bean to use a rotation crop in the winter time, and then plow them down to plant rice. This is a good use of this fava bean. And finally, I need to acknowledge my co-authors and my collaborators, a lot of people involved in this analysis of the data, collecting the field data, and also the research grant from ICADA. Thank you.